You're listening to Podcasting with Purpose for Life Coaches. My name is Karagat Warner, the podcasting coach for coaches. I believe that a podcast is a powerful medium for creating connection and community. And inside every conversation is the potential for transformation. So let's get started on yours. Enjoy the episode.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes. You can hear me okay?
I can. Your hair looks amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Love this. Wait, yeah. Can we just talk about the knitted microphone cozy that you have?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Did you make that?
Yes. And of course, I've made this too. Everything. And anything knitted is a sacrilege if I'm not, you know, if I didn't make it.
So I have this dream of becoming someone who knits, and I have all the supplies.
Stop. And you have all the supplies and you don't knit?
Well, I try. Every time I try, I have to go on YouTube and figure it out all over again. And then I'll knit for a little while and it won't be perfect and I'll get annoyed and I'll quit and then I'll see the supplies. So it's so funny. It's like, I literally have to coach myself.
Yeah.
On it every single time because I get mad because it's not perfect.
So you like the yarn candy?
I do. I do love going to yarn shops and like buying all the yarn, and then I never know what to do with it. And
so, ooh, that's expensive candy.
It is expensive candy. I mean, at least it doesn't go bad.
Well, maybe one of these days we can have I don't know how I could teach you this way, but you know, there's so many amazing videos out there, so you know that. Yeah. But come on, Jill.
I use the analogy of me and my knitting when I talk about people who start running and get frustrated and quit because it's not easy.
Well, you know what? We're going to talk about that for the podcast because I hear that all the time. Like people say, it's too hard. There's too many steps, but that's later because we're talking all about podcasting today. That's what this is about.
Yes. Okay. Right? So I feel like knitting and podcasting have a lot in common.
Everything, right? It all comes back to life coaching. That's what's going to happen here today.
Okay. Right? All right. I'm yours. Let's just chat about whatever you want.
Okay, good. Like, cause I'm recording right now. So the way I look at this, cause we came onto this, it was fun. And it's like, we're just rolling with it.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So we didn't say any naughty words. It's all good.
Oh, wait, this is a no naughty words podcast.
No, it's okay. You know what? Because my, I shouldn't say my coach has a potty mouth. She's okay. If she hears this, she'll be laughing, but like, I'm just getting a little more bold with my words, you know? And so if something comes out, it comes out, it's all good. That's what I'm saying.
I can control myself because my podcast literally has an explicit rating because it does, but I can control myself when necessary. So I'll just follow your lead.
But doesn't it, like, even if you just say like a word like hell or crap, like technically that's explicit?
I don't know. There are just many F-bombs in every single one of my episodes.
Okay. That's okay. It's all good. Hey, just let it flow. So So I'm going to keep the video on. Is that okay?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Last totally time fine. We turned it off and I decided, you know, I'm doing Zoom. I'm like simplifying so much. Cause like, I know I did Squadcast and it's like, you know what? I use Zoom for coaching all the time. So we're using it for this too.
Okay.
And, so we're doing this and, keeping the video on and we're just having some fun. So I'm so glad that you're back.
I
love to have my friends on the show. So I just felt like when we talked the first time, I just felt like really connected to you. And I was like, she's going to have to come back. This is going to be definitely going to happen. So I'm going to do like sort of an unofficial, hey, everybody, right? Because we already started talking, but I'm just going to start, you know, right now and just say, welcome, Jill. Welcome to the podcast. So I'm going to do a little intro about you and then I'll let you kind of share it in your own words. Okay. So I am speaking today, you guys, with running rebel Jill Angie of Not Your Average Runner. And Jill, you started running about 20 years ago. Is that right?
Actually, at 25, I did 25. The math the other day. I've been saying I've been running for 20 years, but I've been saying that for 5 years. And I did the math the other day and it's 1996. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like when you started, you were just like, I want to burn calories and lose weight. And then you were just in the beginning, just hating every minute of it. Right. And then you were just, you found yourself in this loop of frustration and punishment and disappointment. Right. So then you kind of came out of that and then you were, you know, sort of Not Your Average Runner was born and all the other things that you do. Right. So, I want you to talk about that. And listen, you guys, if you're here for the first time, meeting Jill for the first time, go back to our last episode. It was Craft Your Confidence episode 14, because Jill shares her journey there and talks all about that and what she does. And so today we're going to really dive into podcasting. But before we do, I want you to just, you know, just share, like, you know, who you are and a little bit about more about yourself and what you do. And I'll stop talking. I'll shut up. I love to talk. I'm a talker. That's why I'm a podcaster, because I can't stop talking. So go.
Okay. I always say that podcasting is the absolute perfect thing for me too, because I was always that kid in school that had to stand in the hall because she couldn't stop talking, that had to write 100 times on the blackboard, I will not talk in class. And it didn't stop me. So I feel like I want to reach out to all of my all of my teachers from school and say, look, you know, but anyway, yeah. So I am I'm a running coach, but I'm a fat running coach. And I think that's unusual in today's world, is to have somebody that's a fitness instructor that's not a tiny, skinny little body. And there's more of us coming out of the woodwork, I'm one of the first that sort of came public and said, hey, I'm fat, I'm a runner, and I can help you do the same thing. So that for me was born out of a love of, you know, similar to you, like figuring things out on my own and then realizing, oh, there's a much faster way to get there, and then wanting to help people do the same thing. So yeah, so I have a podcast, I've written some books, and I coach a few clients here and there. And
what's the name of your podcast? Share that.
Not Your Average Runner.
Yeah, obviously. Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Connecting the dots.
Yes. Well, and I'm all about simplicity. So the title of my book is Not Your Average Runner, and the title of my business is Not Your, it's all the same. It just makes it super easy for people to find me.
Yeah. So like I said, I wanted to take a little bit of a different spin from the last time we spoke and to really talk about how podcasts have really informed what we do as coaches. And, you know, I want to ask you, like, why you started one, you know, the impact that it's had on your clients and yourself too. Cause like we do this cause we're like, we keep showing up cause there's something in it for us too. It's fun. Right. And, you know, and so I think one of the most important points that I want to circle back to and talk about, so we have kind of this fun conversation here, is that thing that what is the magic, or what is that thing that keeps you coming back to the microphone and again and again? So put a pin in that, because I think that's the secret sauce. I think that's what a lot of people miss. A lot of the people I work with, because they're like, well, tell me what the equipment is and tell me all these other things. And they forget, like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to like really like love the idea of doing this first.
Yeah.
So, let's just kind of talk about, you know, how, you know, kind of how we can paint that picture. Okay. So how do you inspire women, your clients, on your podcast?
I think it boils down to one thing. And that is, everything about my podcast gives larger bodied women permission to start running in the body they have right now. So everything I do kind of comes back to that theme in one way or another. And sometimes it's through me providing, you know, life coaching lessons on the podcast. Sometimes it's me providing instruction about running. Sometimes it's me bringing in some of my clients that have been super successful, or other people that I know have a lot to offer to my audience. But really, like, it's that one single message that gets spread through every, I mean, gosh, I've got over 200 episodes now. It's all about, I'm giving you permission to start running in the body you have right now, instead of waiting until you lose weight, which is what I thought you had to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're also probably talking about your own experiences, which is probably makes it, you know, makes it more authentic, and makes it feel like, you know, like you're really having an intimate, you know, conversation, an intimate relationship with your people. So do you go into that at all? Do you talk about, like, you know, I experienced this thing, and if I can do this, so can you? Like, what kind of impact have stories like that What have they had on your people?
I mean, a pretty big impact, actually. In 2019, I was training for my first marathon, and I shared a lot of my personal experiences, which included a significant amount of struggling. I shared that on the podcast, and it actually, I mean, I came up with some really amazing content as a result of the struggles that I was going through and how I was figuring everything out and how I translated that into lessons for my listeners. So I think, yeah, like sharing your own journey, your past, your present, your future, like all of the things, I think that's a big part of your podcast as well, because people who listen to you want to know you've gone through what they've gone through so that you're relatable. They want to relate to you, because otherwise you're just like some random person saying crap in their ear. Like you want it to be meaningful and speak to the problems that they're having. And so, yeah, a lot of my own life goes into my podcast for sure.
Mm-hmm. So when you first thought about podcasting, what was the number one thought, or one of the number one thoughts that you had that made you say, hell yeah, I'm going to do this?
I don't think I was a hell yeah. It's kind of funny. I started podcast for a similar reason than I started running. I started running because I thought I needed to do it to lose weight. And I started a podcast because I think I needed to, I thought everybody else is doing it, I need to have a podcast too. And so I sort of reluctantly started it. I thought, this is probably not going to last. It's, I had all the crappy thoughts about it. And then I don't, like, two or three episodes in, I suddenly realized, oh, this is actually really fun, because I was getting feedback from, I had like just a tiny little handful of listeners. But I think one of my first listeners reached out and said, wow, this is helpful to me. And it wasn't even like, oh my God, this is the best podcast ever, but they reached out and said, this helped me. And then I started to think of it differently, not like this is something I need to do to have a business, but this is something I need to do because it's going to help people. And honestly, it plays on my natural talents of being a chatterbox.
So, yeah. Well, that was fun, right? That's fun. I was going to say, why do you think that was fun? Because you said, oh, people started reaching out. Like, what was that pivotal moment there that was like, it went from a crappy thought to like a fun thought?
Yeah, like, I think it was, this is helping people. And I think there were two. There's one, this is helping people. And then the second was, I like talking. I like talking to people. I like sharing my experiences, right? Like some people don't, I do. And I feel like, I think I have a, when I first started my podcast, and I still do it to a certain degree, and I'm not sure if this is something that other folks struggle with, I scripted it. I would write out every single word I was going to say verbatim, and then I read it. And I don't think people really always know that, because when I read it sort of in my own voice with my own inflections, but I'm not real good as an ad libber. So I don't even, like, bullet points are not enough for me. It has to be very well scripted so that I don't sort of go off script. And so I think for me, I also thought podcasting was something where I would just show up and talk. And once I realized, like, oh, I can like pre-write everything that I want to say and then have that be my podcast, it took off a layer of complication for me, which I guess for some people that would be more complicated to write it all out. But for me, it felt less complicating to write it all out and then just read it.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's like, you're like, this feels good to me. This gives me the confidence, where someone else might, because I've heard that from my clients where they're like, oh, scripting it out, it feels so heavy and I feel mechanical. But like you just said like something really important there. You're like, well, I learned how to like, add inflection and make it conversational and be like relaxed. Like some of the tricks that I, do for myself and I share with others, it's like, look away, like check in with like, am I actually feeling what I'm saying? Or am I just reading from my script? And you know what? It just gets, it's practice, isn't it, Jill? It's like, and then that's where the confidence comes in. And then you're like, oh yeah, I can totally do this. And then, but yeah, writing it out. And I think it's, for me, it also depends on what I'm trying to Like if I'm trying to teach something, I might need something scripted because I really want to, you know, make a point. But most for me, and so most, so this is just an example of how, you know, it depends on your style and what works. Bullet points are great for me because I'll grab a bullet that's like, it encapsulates everything I know I want to say. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about that. Cause I'm like you, I'm a talker. I mean, I'm a Jersey girl. So it's like, just, yeah. And I don't have any shame about it. I'm like, I'm a talker. Sorry. This is how it goes. But and I know you live in New Jersey. I don't think you're from New Jersey, right? But you live in New Jersey. Is that right? You're
in
New
Jersey? I do. Yeah. I'm in Princeton.
I mean, I definitely love that part of the country, but yeah. So, I just lost my train of thought. Squirrel.
This is why I script.
Exactly. But see, this is fun too, because I think when we have, especially with interviews, I like that having conversations, it's like people really want to feel connected. Like we're sitting on the couch together, you know, that we're, you know, it's like, especially in a time of like COVID and all the things that we've been going through, it's like, we get to have company. That's what I love about interviews that are more like a conversation as opposed to here are my questions and I'm going to be asking you these and this is how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you feel about that, but anyway.
Oh no, I don't script my interviews. I have like, I'll have like a few questions that I'll share ahead of time and just say, hey, we may cover this, but we'll see what the conversation goes. Yeah. I don't script my interviews either.
Yeah. So we talked about fun and fueling with fun and we'll maybe circle back to that again. And some of these other questions are going to probably tie back to that, because that to me, I think, is the secret sauce. It's like the number one thing. Like, you were lucky because in the beginning, you're like, oh my gosh, I have crappy thoughts, but you found the fun pretty early. Cause if you lose the fun, there's no way you can keep going. Cause you've been doing this for how many years now?
I mean, in January, it'll be 4 years.
Exactly. So it's like, what is the reason that you keep coming back to the microphone?
Yeah. I think it has changed over time. In the beginning, I had a lot of thoughts that, oh, I'll probably just give up on this. Like, you know, I had all those thoughts that these are just thoughts that I've had, like, against myself over the years of like, oh, you're a quitter. You never finish anything. And so I kind of had that a little bit in the back of my mind, but I paid somebody to help me get my podcast started. Right. And I invested some money in the very beginning. And I thought, okay, well, I've invested money and they had deadlines. They're like, you need to have your podcast to us by midnight on Thursdays for the following week, or we will charge you more money. And so that, I think that kept me on track long enough for it to start feeling fun. But
you were also accountable to doing that, right? And that's one part of it. But also, you paid someone to do something maybe that you didn't like the editing and this other, you know, because so that you could just be like this, like we're just talking and then Zoom, send it to the cloud. Because I think that, you know, a lot of the times you can get caught up in like the minutia of like the editing and the intro and the outro and how do I, and the sound, my sound is so weird. It's like, don't even worry about that. You want to talk about pod fading? That's to me, like, that's a sure way to do it. Like take a life coach and say, now go do editing. And, or whatever, you know, the thing is like, we're doing this because we want to teach and we want to coach like right here. And we want to do it on demand, not also be like the cook bottle and bottle washer, as they say. It's like, like, you know, like leave that to the people that can do that, you know, better.
And I do think that's one of the reasons that I've been so consistent. I mean, I hired somebody to not just produce my podcast, but to help me decide who was my audience and what did I want to say every week. They helped me plan everything out in the beginning and get things set up so that I could do exactly what you said. Like, that's literally all I do is I write my script or I write my interview questions and I show up and I record. And then somebody else does everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and that means I don't need to think about it. I get to do the fun part, which is creating the content and having the conversations. And then somebody else who's much, much better at it than me does it. And I was kind of worried that, oh, you know, the sound of your own voice. And I think like, because I'd been coaching over video for so long already, I knew what my voice sounded like. But when I listen to my voice on my podcast, I'm like, whoa, who's that? Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what kind of magic they work. I sound so much better on my podcast than I do in real life.
I know. And isn't that funny? It's like, because it just reminded me of like my music. Cause I will record, well, I don't hear my music when I'm recording, but after it comes back from my editor and I just do a quick, like everything's in place, there's the bumpers and I'm like, I'm dancing, you know,
I
all of it is like fun because it's like the music, even the music I pick, it's like, oh, this is like my flavor of fun, my flavor of, you know, that's what it's got to be. So it's like, even my music, I'm kind of doing a little dance every time I listen to my podcast. I love it.
Same. I know. Yeah. Right. Like if you like listening to your own podcast, I think that's a sign that you're doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. So, in the early days, I mean, were you always paying someone or was there ever a point where like, you know, did you find any hacks or maybe you do that now? Like this could be just with recording. Cause I know I have little hacks that I use even just with the recording. Like if I mess up, so I don't have to worry about anything. And quickly letting my editor know, like, are there any hacks that you have discovered in your 4 years that like make it even easier to podcast?
I mean, I'll tell you, sometimes I go back to my most popular episodes and I'll take the script because I've saved every script that I've ever written. I'll take those scripts and I'll be like, how can I update this? Right? Like, oh, I don't have time to like create a whole podcast. So how can I take a topic that I talked about 3 years ago and update it for right now?
I love it.
That's one hack that I have if I'm really, really struggling. Another hack is I'll bank a bunch of interviews and then just kind of save them for like, okay, I know I'm going to be really busy this week and I want a time to record my podcast. So I'll pull an interview that I did a month ago out of storage and I'll have that be the one that goes live. And so I don't like to do that and like have people's interviews sit around for 3 months, but I'll take somebody's interview and like hold on to it for like maybe 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Just so that I have a little leeway in my schedule if things get really busy. Cause in general, I record my podcast the week before it airs. But then I know, like, for example, last week I was in Wisconsin with 30 clients and we were doing trail races and like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to be able to record a podcast. So I had one that I'd recorded 3 weeks earlier and I made sure that was available so that I didn't have to worry about it. So that's a big hack. Some people batch. I know a bunch of podcasters that, you know, they'll just record a month's worth of episodes on one day. I don't tend to do that because I tend to lose my voice pretty easily. So by the third or fourth podcast, I'm like, I sound kind of rough. But I sometimes I'll do two in a day just to kind of give myself a break the following week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then I talk to my editor while I'm like, if I mess something up, I'll be, oh, you know, sorry, Devin, I messed that up. Can you please cut that out? And she always does. So
that's so cool. I love that idea. This is great. You guys, you have to totally steal this from Jill, but like the idea of a week, like the week before you said, right, is usually generally your thing. And then you have this bank of interviews that you can pull from. I love that. And the thing is when I'm interviewing, like when we're done, I'll tell you this, cause I always say, look, it's going to go out in a month. Like people don't mind. They're like, yeah, I totally get it. Like, and a month or maybe two, people are like fine with that. As long as you just let them know. But I love that you're like, because I do, unlike you, I really feel like for me, I think what keeps me showing up is I really do. I encourage batching, but I really do love showing up in the week. As I say, I sprinkle my fairy dust. And I'm like, oh, it's Monday morning. It's that special time of the week. I'm going to record. And I just do. And that's it. And then I shoot it to the cloud and it's like done. And, but to have this bank of like interviews, if you're like going on a vacation or something, that's brilliant. Because then you're never like, if you're behind, you're never behind. Right. Like you can still do it in the week ahead for your solo episodes and then have this bank of interviews.
Yeah. That's right. So it's awesome. It's like a savings account.
Oh, it is ever. Yeah. That is so awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So I wasn't going to even ask you if you had a hack, but I'm glad I did, because that's a good one. So why did you decide to do a podcast and not, and maybe you do these too, but not videos or another platform? Because you know, like when you, because we're so, you know, we're online business marketers, right? Our businesses are online for the most part, and we have one main platform, right? So why do you feel like, you know, podcasting is that platform? And not live videos or, you know, another type of platform. Like, why is it a podcast?
Well, for my people, they're looking for things to listen to while they run. And so a podcast about running, where I'm literally telling them you can do this while they're out walking or running or exercising, is like, I can't possibly think of a better fit. I mean, I've written several books. But the podcast is it. Like, people listen to podcasts when they're exercising. So why wouldn't they want to listen to me while they're exercising? So it makes a lot of sense. I have toyed with the idea of doing a YouTube channel or whatever, and I'll for sure get to that at some point, but the podcast is so, I think it also, so it's for sure what my clients are listening to, right? They need things in their ear when they're running. And then also it kind of speaks to, it's easier for me to script a podcast than it is for me to script a YouTube video, for example, and do all that editing. So yeah, so it just kind of works with my strengths and my niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, a video, it's a whole different thing. So you can't take the video running. Of course you could listen, but then you're using bandwidth depending on, you know, the plan that you have. And you're like, oh my gosh, where did all my data go?
Yeah.
Like, it's not as flexible. It's not as practical at all.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense. Okay. So how do you think that your podcast informs all the other pieces? Like I always like to think of my podcast as like the nucleus of everything. And it's sort of like the all-inclusive tool. I mean, this is how I think. Maybe you don't think that about your podcast. Maybe you have lots of other things, but I like to think, okay, if it's the nucleus, like how does it like spider out to the other things? How does it inform the other things that I do in my business and social media? Like, how do you connect those dots back to the podcast?
Yeah. So a podcast, people find me through two primary ways. One is the podcast. And then the other is I've got a Facebook group that at this point has about 20,000 women in it. It's a free Facebook group. And so it's so big that Facebook just suggests it to people. So Facebook's doing a little bit of my marketing for me. So those are the two places that people find me. And I honestly, it's funny that you say that, because I've thought to myself like, oh, I should plan all of my week's content on Instagram and Facebook and in my email newsletter. I should plan all of that around the podcast. And sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't. I just sort of wing it. And I think, honestly, I think that what's going on in my life and what's going on my business actually informs what's going to show up on the podcast. So I use my podcast, you know, if I've got a launch going on, I launch about 3 times a year, then the episodes leading up to the launch date and the episodes that are dropping during the launch date like that. So it's probably about 6 to 8 weeks. That all of that content is created to support the launch. And then when I'm not launching is when I do more fun stuff. So I don't think the podcast is the nucleus of my business. I think my launch schedule is, and then that informs what I'm going to put on the podcast.
Yeah. And there's no one, I'm not saying, like I said before, it doesn't have to be that, but it's really interesting to see how what we're doing informs the other things that we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I just thought maybe, you know, I'd ask that question.
Yeah.
So
it's a good question. Yeah. I never really thought of it, but I think of my podcast as like a supporting player and not the star.
Yeah. Totally. And I know that from myself, like when I think about how, cause I've been podcasting now for almost 8 years, and you know, it's like, I think of all the things, all the gifts that, you know, podcasting has given me and helped me in other areas of my business. So, it's all the supporting players.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So in our last episode together, you talked about how, cause I'm going to touch a little bit on, you know, coaching and the model and self-coaching and all that stuff. And you talked about how you teach self-coaching and the model and how, you know, how do you tailor that to your listener, like on your podcast? How do you bring that in your special flavor, in your special way? How do you do that on the podcast?
Well, I have a couple episodes where I literally just teach the model. This is the model. And then when I talk about the model in other episodes, I'll say, hey, refer back to episode 33 or whatever. But like most coaches, whatever you're coaching on, those are the thoughts that you're working with for your clients, right? So for my listeners, for my clients and everything, most of the thoughts that we put into the model are in relation to either their running or their thoughts about their body or their confidence level, right? So I teach the model in terms of, if you have a thought, I'm too fat to be a runner, you know, you end up feeling defeated. And when you feel defeated, you don't start running. And when you don't start running, right, you just sort of reinforce that original belief of I'm too fat. So I kind of dive into the model with my clients with their thoughts about running, about their bodies, about their athletic abilities and confidence and so forth. And then we just go from there. And then, you know, after, it's so funny, because right now I'm in the middle of teaching my, my 30-day signature class, the Rebel Runner Roadmap. And week two of that class is the model, right? First week we talk about running, second week I'm like, okay, this is the model. This is, and they're all just like, well, can I use this for things outside of running, or can I only use it for running? I'm like, no, you can use it for anything.
Yeah.
Running is just like the example that we use. It's so fun.
I know. It's funny. It's like, I'm like, hey, we use it for podcasting. We use it for weight loss. We use it for running. We use everything. Yeah. Hello. Yes. It's just amazing. So do you refer to specific episodes like that you talk, like you teach from, you know, like to your clients or in your groups? Do you say, okay, in episode XX, I talk about this? Like, how do you connect those dots back to your podcast? Or do you do that that often? Cause you know, we talk.
Yeah. Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes in a podcast where I'm talking about something that I've explained in several other shows, I'll say, check out these episodes. And then I do give, I think, trying to remember where I've got it in my free group, I've actually got like a full podcast list that's searchable that they can go and like look up any episode that they want. And then when people join my paid group, I think I do give them, I gotta look back because I can't remember offhand, but I think they get sort of a guide to like, these are the most important episodes to listen to. So I do refer back to it, but not like as a curriculum, but more as a, I repeat a lot of concepts, right? Because you hear something one way and then you hear it another way and it like means something totally different to you. So I think because I repeat a lot of the concepts and sort of come at them from a lot of different directions, I don't necessarily always say like, go back to episode X to understand this, because I'll just re-explain it.
Yeah. No, I love that you have sort of like a guide or like a checklist or something that they can work with. Cause I think that's, you know, that's really a great way to bring people back to your podcast. And like, if someone comes into your world, like, so for example, you were talking about your newsletter. So someone could come into your newsletter and you would be like, okay, here's what I do on the podcast. Here's what I do on social media. Like, it's like, okay, welcome to the garden kind of a thing. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really, really powerful thing to do. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because like, I do something similar, because I teach my launch process, my podcast launch process, and I have a guide that I share. And then, you know, I'm going to start fleshing that out and add episodes to that. Like, go back. This is where I talk about this. And this is where I talk about that. So they have like a structure and then they're like, oh, like, this is where I can go get that or learn this or learn that. Cause I find that sometimes, you know, there could be a disconnect between the things that we're doing over on social media. At least this is what I'm hearing from a lot of people. It's like, they're doing certain things over here, but then they're not bringing the podcast back into that, you know, into that circle, you know? So it's really nice. I'm really glad that you brought up how to connect those dots back to the podcast. So I want to like wrap with some, you know, asking you to share some parting advice. This was fun and I'd love to keep going, but I know your time is very valuable. So can you speak to those who are caught in the limiting thought loop? Podcasting is too hard. It's going to take too much time. Another thought that I hear is I need all the fancy equipment. Like, what is that advice that you would give them now to, like, you know, tether to the fun, you know, connect to like why you want to do this? Like, what advice would you give that person that's really caught up in the stuff?
I mean, it doesn't need to be complicated or overwhelming. I mean, I literally have three pieces of equipment for my podcast. I have a mic, I have a stand for the mic. Yeah. And I have this like $10 pop filter.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Like, that's all I have for my podcast. And it doesn't need to be complicated at all. So I think that is one. You don't need like a whole, I don't know what they call those boards are with all the like knobs.
The mixers. You don't need a mixer.
You don't need of that. No. Unless that's fun to you. And if it is, like, go for it. Right. But if it's not, exactly. If it's overwhelming, get in the mic. I mean, my mic was less than $100. I'm looking at my three pieces of equipment here, probably cost me $120 max.
Yeah.
Cause I think there was a bundle on Amazon. I have four pieces. Cause I have the little, I have a little foam cover for my,
mic. This too. Yeah. Yeah. Like I think we have the same mic, except I like your blue. Maybe I need a blue one to match my cozy.
You're
or a purple, nice. Maybe. I don't know.
I would go purple. I have some cozy envy though. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I'll have to make you one.
Yes.
Maybe that's my new thing. I'm going to make all the life coaches are going to have cozies.
No, I feel all of your new clients should get a microphone cozy from you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Don't get me started, Jill, because that is going to happen. Like, that's the kind of person I am when it comes to knitting. I'm like, what can I do? I need an excuse.
I love this.
But I have an ATR 2100. Is that what you're
thinking? What I've got. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a $70 mic and then the boom arm, which you can't see yours. I have mine different, set up a different way.
Oh, you have yours upside down. Yeah. Or mine's maybe.
I don't know why I like this. Maybe so that you can see my cozy. I've always done it this way from the beginning. And then, so the boom arm, and I don't use the pop filter. I have it. It's in the closet. I'm just like, I can't take it. Like, I don't want to use it.
Well, mine just like flips out of the way for when I'm doing client calls and then it comes back.
Do you see a difference with the pop? See, that's the thing. I know it's to remove the you know, but like, do you see a difference? So maybe I need to start using it. I have
no idea. My editor, my producer just said, get one of these.
Get one. Yeah.
Sent me the link. And it wasn't like expensive. So I
just felt like it was like obstacle in the way. Like, I don't know. It's okay. Like, that's my thought. Right. So, so anyway, Jill, what's coming up in your world? Like, let's go back to where people can find out about you, find your podcast and what you're doing. Cause you mentioned you have a masterclass coming up, right? Like, just share all the things. Go for it.
Okay. Well, so I have, if you want to listen to my podcast, you can find it on every podcast platform, Spotify, Amazon, all places. It's called Not Your Average Runner. And you can find my website, notyouraveragerunner.com. You can find me on Instagram at Not Your Average Runner. You can find me on Facebook at Not Your Average Runner. Probably sensing a theme. That's also the title of my book is Not Your Average Runner, Not Your Average 5K, Not Your Average Half Marathon, all available on Amazon. But if you want to start running, if you go to my website, notyouraveragerunner.com, you can grab my Jumpstart free training plan that will, give you a plan for how to get started, what you should do to get started running. It'll actually also give you a list of podcast episodes that you should listen to as part of that. And then, I'm going to be doing a masterclass in January. I'm actually kind of on hiatus for the next couple months while I serve my existing clients. And then in January, I'm going to be doing a masterclass on how to get past excuses so that you can become a consistent exerciser, whether that's a runner or something else. And then after that, I'll be teaching my signature class, Rebel Runner Roadmap.
Oh,
yes, I know it's a lot.
I love running. I've been running for years. I love it. I love it.
It's
I love
so
it.
Fun, so, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Yeah. And even though I'm getting older and I'm, 52 and I feel it differently in my joints, but it's like, it's still, I love it. So I'm so excited that you came back. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Always a pleasure.